Open your Bibles with me to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 as we continue to study it. And this morning I have a message that's very practical and one that I pray that God would just open our hearts and open our eyes as the body about what Jesus says about the kids and the kingdom. Kids and the kingdom. Verse 13, Mark chapter 10, it says, "Then they brought young children to him, that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, 'Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it.' And he took them up in his arms and put his hands on them and blessed them." You know, a very practical chapter. The chapter begins with marriage and divorce. And we looked at that last week. And we saw that though the question was concerning divorce, Jesus really talked about God's purpose for marriage. And then we come to this section here, verses 13 through 16, which is really about kids. Kids and the kingdom of God. And very practical. And then next week we'll look at the rich young ruler, which is really about possessions. Very practical of life, you know, the things that we have to deal with in life, you know, the family, and within the family, there's obviously the marriage and the kids, and then there's things, stuff, and the difference between the kingdom of God and the things we possess, and where's the balance, and what ought to be the priorities, and so a very practical section of Scripture for us. And so here in verse 13, we pick it up, and it says, "And they brought young children to Jesus, that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, 'Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it.'" Jesus here is living in a culture that really isn't favorable towards women or towards children. You know, it's interesting, and obviously these go together, because the Pharisees come to Jesus, we looked at last week, and asked them, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? Because that was their mindset. A woman could never divorce her husband, but a man could divorce his wife. Well, Jesus really brings it to a head, and he says, listen, you know, he teaches on marriage, but he basically lifts women equal with men, and that was something that wasn't true in his culture, where he talked about the reasons for divorce. And we looked at the parallel passage in Matthew about adultery and sexual immorality, and he talked about how a woman also could divorce her husband if he did such a thing, which was something that was definitely not a part of their culture. And now they bring kids, and the disciples are in that mindset that kids are a burden. Kids are a bother to the Lord because the Lord's busy. I mean, Jesus has got a lot going on, a lot of people he's ministering to. Jesus is about to go to the cross. They didn't really get that part, but there's a lot going on. And so these parents seemingly want to bring their kids to Jesus for him to lay his hands on them and bless them. And the disciples, they rebuke the parents, you know, and the rebuke is strong. It's the same word used for the rebuke of the demons. You know, it's a rebuke. It's a sharp rebuke. Get out of here, you know. Don't bother the teacher. Jesus saw that, and he was disturbed. The word there for displeased is a word that speaks of, could be translated, indignation. It speaks of the arousing of anger. Jesus was upset. Now, we know the Scripture says that anger isn't sin. It just says, be angry and do not sin. We know how quickly we can enter into sin once we get angry. But Jesus had a sense of righteous indignation, like, what are you doing? He was grieved. His heart was grieved at the response of the men whom he loved, the men whom he discipled, the men that were his followers, the 12 there. They were rebuking parents for bringing their children to Jesus because Jesus wasn't to be bothered by them, and they thought they knew the heart of the Lord. They thought they were representing the Lord, but in reality, they were misrepresenting the Lord. Jesus caught that, was grieved by that, and said, bring the little children to me. Well, you know, I love that about the Lord. I really do, because there's nothing more glorious than to be sitting there and to bring the little children to you. I don't know if you're like me, but I simply love kids. I do. I can remember as a young, zealous, single guy, I always found myself hanging out with all the kids at church and playing with them. And we got a couple of those around here, some single guys that just tend to draw towards the kids because, man, kids are just so joyful. Kids are so easy. I don't know about you, but I find that when I'm going through something very heavy and difficult, I find a real release and a real joy of being around some kids. When I'm really going through a trial, I'll usually just go home, lay on the floor in my kid's bedroom and just say, dogpile, Dad, you know, let's do something. You know, let's just escape for a minute of, you know, the adult issues. Let's just get in the kids' world. It's fun down here. You know, there's not many responsibilities, you know, and if there is, they're only done because mom and dad are making sure they're happening. And the kids are just, you know, they're ready to go. They're ready to play. You know, they're ready to have fun. And I love that. And Jesus' busyness, and he certainly was. For we learned in Mark that he didn't even have time to eat. It said for many were coming and going, they didn't even have time to eat. He's a busy guy. And the disciples saw that busyness. And because again, in that culture, kids weren't looked at as anything until they were of the age of 13. And really, it was only the young boys because that was the age of adulthood. And then they would pass on the family. They just didn't have anything to offer. Well, what's a kid got? Here it says little kids. And it would tend to seem that he's probably speaking of babies. In fact, Luke records it in the parallel passage there in Luke chapter 18. There in that passage, he translates it there, or it's a different Greek word there, but it's infants there, or little babies. And so they're bringing their children, their little ones, to Jesus to be blessed by him, and the disciples rebuke. You know, I really think that God has a calling upon our lives and upon our church to take the responsibility of the next generation. I don't think it's just my responsibility for my kids and your responsibility if you're a parent with kids for your kids. I think it's our responsibility. In fact, I know it's our responsibility as a body. Listen, we're the body of Christ. We're gathered here today. We're the body of Christ. We're not like the world. We gather together. We're different from the world. We have one thing in common, and maybe some of us only have that one thing in common. We wouldn't be here without that thing, and that is the Lord. That is being a child of God. That is being a part of the family of God. And we as a family, like the scripture says, that when one part of the body suffers, the whole body suffers with it. And you know, there's a huge part of the body. I've been the pastor of our church for some time now and being able to see, you know, these little children become the next generation. I've been able to see the kids in children's ministry go through the junior high and the high school and have become the ones that are now in my office or in the courtyard talking to me about the Word of God. And they're the ones that want to know, you know, this or that or have the theological questions. And to be real honest, many times have some incredible insight to God's Word. The next generation. The ones that care about prayer, the ones that want to go to the mission field, the ones that want to, you know, come to me and say, I really feel like God's called me to be in the ministry. Those were once little kids, just little children, but no longer are they. They're the next generation. We are a young church, a church of young families, a church of a lot of little kids. I think you are aware of that if you stand in the courtyard for any amount of time. There's kids everywhere. You know, and we can view kids as a burden, like the disciples did, or we could view kids as a blessing, like Jesus did. Jesus saw them as a blessing. You know, when you see a bunch of kids running around the courtyard, you know, you could either say, well, where are their parents? You know, well, what are all these things doing? Why are they over there in the planters? You know, someone needs to deal with these kids. Or you could see them as a blessing, thinking, you know, hey, you know, those kids probably shouldn't be in that planter over there. Maybe I should go over there and love them. Hang out with them. Get in their world. These are the next generation. I know there's a lot of single people here this morning. I know there's a lot of parents, too. If there wasn't, we wouldn't have any kids. But I know there's a lot of single people you can check out and say, wow, this message isn't for me. Actually, this message is probably more for you than for the parents. The parents know. They need to love their kids. The parents have some understanding about kids. But there's people here that don't have kids and think, well, those are someone else's kids, and that's not my burden, that's not my responsibility, that's not my problem. But you know, Jesus, he didn't have kids. And Jesus said, bring those kids to me. Jesus sought and seized the moment to minister to those little kids, to just pronounce a blessing on them, to lay hands on them. You know, we have a great privilege, and I believe an obligation to disciple the next generation. And do you know, and I don't think some of us know, but do you know the impact that someone that isn't someone's parent can have upon a child for good is so powerful. There are kids here, young men, that don't have dads. Do you know what kind of impact you can have on those little kids? On those little ones that don't have that which you could offer them to some degree, you'll never replace their dad, I'm not saying to try, but to be their friend, to be their big brother, to be what? An example of godliness. You know, they have plenty of examples of ungodliness as they are going to school and as they live in the society we live. And there is such an opportunity for you to rise up and to just shepherd and to love. And you know, some of you guys have done that, and what an impact and a blessing you have been. I know there is a handful of men in our church that aren't married, and well, some are now, but that have impacted my kids radically for the Lord. And you know that my kids, they have some idols in life. Some of them are sports figures, and most of them are guys in our church. And most of them are single guys in our church. You know, the reality is most of the dads have their hands full with their own kids. But, you know, when I sit down with my kids, you know, and they talk about being something in life, you know, when they dream. They talk about being as strong as Omar, you know. And Joel says, Dad, can you pick me up by your thumb? I go, well, let's try, you know. So he grabs onto my thumbs and I'm like, yeah. Well, I'll pick you up. He goes, Omar doesn't go. He goes, Omar just picks me up by his thumbs. He's the strongest man. You know, and they're watching these dudes, you know, these muscle bros, the strongest man. They're watching this thing, you know, they're lifting this stuff up. And they're like, Omar can do that. And Omar has a way in to my son's lives because they think he's the strongest man in the world. Well, he isn't, but we won't tell Omar that, nor my sons. But the reality is this, Omar speaks Christ into their life. Well, you know, I want Omar to be an example to my boys. I want to be like Omar when I get older. Because Omar loves the Lord, walks with God. What a powerful thing. I'll never forget sitting there, and there's several others, but I'll never forget sitting there doing a Bible study in my backyard, and there was probably about 20 guys from our church. And we were talking about doing ministry, and I was teaching at First Timothy, and Isaac asked if he could come out. You know, I've got a little fire pit there on the patio, and Isaac asked if he could come out. I said, yeah, but you've got to be like one of the guys. Now, these are all his idols. I mean, they're all the guys that can, you know, best basketball players. There's the best soccer player. There's, you know, in his opinion, they should be, you know, on TV and in professional sports. And they're all sitting there, and they all are there with open Bibles. And we're all worshiping first. And I'm watching him. As a father, I kind of open my eyes. See, what's he doing out here? How's he faring amongst the worship, you know? And he's just watching him. I see him. He's just looking around. Because, you know, I had a little talk with him. I said, get your Bible. This is big boy stuff now. You ready? Saying, you know, you and your buddies, we're going to study the Word, and you got to be quiet and listen. And he's just watching them all worship. And then as I break the Word open, as I'm teaching, I'm watching him out of the corner of my eye. And he's got his Bible open and he finds where we are. And he's like looking around like, okay, am I fitting in? And he's just there and I just see him. And as I'm talking, he's not really listening to me. He's looking at the guys. What are they doing? And he's noticing they're listening to me. And what an example. You know, because kids, they pick up more than they hear. You know, it's what they see. What are you really about? And that's what they see. That is what I want my kids to grow up in. But you know, I can't do that for them. I mean, I can do my role as a father for my kids and I can be that for, but I can't be Omar. I can't be Kevin Moore that can throw the fastest ball. I didn't tell him, Kev, you really aren't the fastest. But I can't be that, but they can. You know, Kev and I were coaching basketball. We did it last year, and you know, Kev's a single guy. So I'm going to pick on you for a second, Kev. Embarrass you, maybe. You know, he's our high school leader, and he's a single guy. I mean, he doesn't got time to go hang out with kids. I mean, he's got no invested interest in it like I do. It's my son, so I'm there. I'm the coach, and Kevin's there. And I remember I went out of town. I went to Sri Lanka last year, and he had to coach. He was in for a treat, you know. He said, "Oh, these kids, they don't care about how to dribble. They think they're all the best dribblers that ever lived." You know, they're like, let's play, let's, you know, and they're just throwing balls. And Kevin's thinking, what did I get myself into? He calls in his reinforcements. Andy, Omar brings him in, you know. They're coaching the team. Do you know what an impact that was for my son Isaac, that Kevin was his coach? And do you know what an impact it is? Kevin's going to be doing that with me this year, that we have on these kids. I use it as an outlet for myself with other kids to minister to. It was yesterday, it was at the soccer game, and I was coaching, and there's this kid on one of my son's teams. His parents are split up, and you can tell there's some problems. His dad's he's a real nice guy, but you can tell he's a rough dude. He's got some scars, and you can tell he's a fighter. And he comes to the game on crutches, and his son tells me, yeah, my dad, he's over there on crutches. He had to beat up the bad guys, and you know, he's telling me all this stuff, and I'm just, my heart's breaking because I know his dad is out at bars getting in fights, and this is what this boy's grown up around. But you know, I have the opportunity to speak into that little boy's life of Jesus Christ, first by just loving him, first by telling him he's doing a great job, giving him high fives. It's real easy. It's not hard. I find it enjoyable. And, you know, just loving him and just being there for him. And you find, because I've been coaching and doing different things in sports here in Yorba Belinda, that, you know, all the kids, they grow up together. They keep going up in sports. They're all the same age. And you start seeing them all, and you start ministering to people and kids that are hurting, and evangelize them, because Jesus says, for such is the kingdom of heaven. This is the kingdom of God. Those kids aren't nothing. Those kids are about the kingdom. Those of the kingdom should be about the kids, because in the kingdom there's a place for those kids. He's talking about salvation. Salvation is given not just for adults. Salvation is given for whoever would will, whoever would come, whoever would hear. And you know, I think for all of us here today, we would be so blessed, and maybe some of us can say we were, that from the day we could remember, there were people around us that loved God, that served God, and gave us the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't think of a better gift you can give any generation. We, church, are a privileged people. We have the Word of God. We have the love of God in our church. We have the fire of God in our church. We've got a vision. We have people in our church that know God, know His Word. We got people coming and going, going out, coming back in, preaching the gospel. We got street evangelism. We've got worldwide missions. We've got all kinds of awesome, awesome things that are happening that are biblical, that are sound, that are Book of Acts lifestyle. And we've got a whole little generation around us just watching. And we have an opportunity to take a generation that would otherwise be converted by the perversity of this world and be corrupted by, and all these kids that are, you know, in school and out there in this world and just even having friends in the neighborhood are being, the video games today are appalling to me. That these kids, their minds are just being filled with just murder and death and horror, and they're being hardened. And this is the society that our kids are growing up with, and not just our kids. When I say that, I don't just mean you and me that are parents. Our kids, our church. And there's such a need for us to say, listen, we're gonna seize the moment. We're going to seize the opportunity, because here's the reality. Whether you like it or not, I don't care how old you are, how young you are today, whether you like it or not, you're getting old. Yeah, you're 20, but you're getting old. And I'll tell you what, it just keeps creeping up on you. And you know what? You need to think about the next generation if you care about the kingdom of God. Because this kingdom of God is going to go on. And you might not go on here. Are we leaving a legacy for the children of what it means to know and walk with God? I think so many times the kids are pushed to the side. You know, the kids are taken aside. And some people say, well, you guys don't really let kids in the sanctuary. And didn't Jesus rebuke his disciples? Well, we don't let the kids in the sanctuary because we want to minister to the kids. Do you think that I'm going to minister to the kids as I teach on divorce and remarriage? We talk about sexual immorality. There's some things I don't want my kids even to hear that I teach on. I don't want their little innocent minds. Dad, what's sexual immorality? They're five. We'll deal with that another day. That's why we don't have kids in the sanctuary. Because we want kids not to hate church. Mom, quiet. You know, and the usher's coming. You know, you got to get the kid to... We want the kids to be able to be kids and to learn about Christ on their own level. And so we go more than out of our way. I mean, more than half of the rent we pay at church is for the children's ministry classes. Most of the laboring that's going on Sunday mornings is these people and the teachers that are investing and praying and preparing and giving their lives to serve these kids. It's not babysitting. It's not daycare. It's Sunday school. It's school. It's church. It's Christ. And boy, how I would exhort us today. Every one of us, at one point in our walk with God, and our time here at our church, when you feel like you're ready to commit 6 months of your life to serve in the children's ministry. You know, we do have this mindset that this is like a burden. You know, when a guy comes into the ministry, he says, you know, I like to preach, pastor, and I really feel like God's calling me. And so I'll tell him, why don't you start in the preschool? He looks at me like, you know what? I don't think you understand, you know, my giftings. Like, you don't want me to waste my giftings down there. Like, because that's like, oh, that's for people that can't make it in the big stuff. Yeah, sometimes missionaries are looked at like that. Well, they couldn't make it, you know, in ministry in America, so they went to the mission field. That's such a bad view. And it just reveals our heart. Oh, the kids, they're not really worth anything. So you want me to go down there and babysit? I didn't say that. I said, I want you to go down there and teach them about Jesus. Listen, if you can teach a fourth grader about Jesus Christ, then you can teach an adult. Because, man, if you can communicate the gospel in the midst of a kid's world, then you can communicate the gospel really powerfully to an adult. It's not lowering, it's actually raising. It's a lot harder to teach. It's so easy for me to teach here this morning. You guys are all sitting there, you're nice, you're listening, you're quiet. You're not going, oh, are you done yet? Even if you're thinking it, you just reserve yourself. Kids, I mean, they're just so honest. Difficult. My son, he's 3 years old, my little precious Nathaniel, and he just turned three, and here I am with this vertigo and the whole world spinning, and it was a few Sundays ago, I think about three now, and I was right in the worst sickness that I think I've ever experienced, and I'm totally sick to my stomach, and literally the world's spinning, and it was a Sunday, and I had someone speak for me. I was at home and I began to get ready because I had a wedding to do. And it's hard to cancel a wedding. You know, it was a wedding of like 400 people. You know, they probably dropped, you know, $1 million. No, something close though. And a nice wedding. Well, you know, my assistant's going to do your wedding today. That doesn't really flow well. Anyways, all my assistants were caught up teaching here at the church. And so I proceeded to do it. By God's grace and your prayers, you didn't know you were praying for me to do a wedding, but you were praying for me and God knew what I needed to do. And I'll tell you what, you learn how God is good. And so anyways, I'm doing this wedding, barely hanging on. Usually I have a lapel mic like this, but that day they had a microphone stand, which usually I hate because it really ruins the pictures to a wedding. But that day I was glad because I held on to it. I mean, I'm just holding on to this thing, just doing this wedding. Everyone thinks, you know, I'm all good. And I'm just, I can't even see the bride and groom straight. They keep moving around. I'm seeing, well, they're probably not moving. I think they're moving. I'm getting sick here. Anyways, I'm doing the wedding. And when I'm done with the wedding, I'm ready to go. I got to go. We see on the grounds where the wedding was, there was animals. There was, you know, zebras, and there was, you know, these incredible tigers. And, well, I got my daughter Brooke and Nathaniel with us, and my wife's there, and I'm all, honey, we got to go, you know, and the great reception plan. There's no way I could even do anything. We got to get out of here. I'm losing it. So we're walking out, and Nathaniel, he's got a little attitude. You know, he's like, I showed him the zebra and the tiger. He's like, I don't want to leave. I'm on, Nathaniel, Dad is really sick. Do you care that Dad is really sick? I said, do you care more about what you want to do or about your dad? He goes, what I want to do. Just like that. I go, Nathaniel, do you not care about your dad? He goes, no. I mean, kids are just so honest. They're the most honest people in the world. I just think this is beautiful. I mean, well, first of all, look at his depravity. Secondly, look at his honesty. You know, and kids, you can get right to their heart. But a lot of times we don't even take time. And even as parents, we don't take time to minister and to love and to do that which Jesus is trying to blaze a trail of example here for his disciples who think, push them away. I challenge every one of you to serve. We in our children's ministry, you serve for 6 months, and if you want to serve again, you can do that. That's not the end of the world. In fact, I think it'd be a great blessing for you. And if you're single, man, you've got more time than you. I know you think you're busy, but wait until you get married and have some kids, and really have to pay, you know, a substantial rent, and really have to work. You know, it's. I'm just kind of joking, but I'm, you know, some of you, maybe I'm not. But you've got time, and you've got energy, like you can't believe. But, and you know, to bless the mothers of our church and the fathers, to know that their kids are in the hands of godly people that love the Lord and that want to just shepherd their kids so that they can come up here and just get refreshed and fed is such an honor and a blessing. We're the body. It's not like, well, Trent, that's your family and that's mine. You do your thing, I do my thing. But that is how we live. And we need to come together. And when you see kids running around, you know, get down on your knees and talk to them. Hang out with them. You know, I love the different cultures of the world. You know, in Africa, and I'm not saying to do this, it wouldn't work in our culture. But you know, in Africa, it's such a communal culture that the community raises the kid. I mean, the parents raise the kid, but the community is. Like, for instance, I'll never forget the time I'm driving down the street. Well, you call it a street. It's kind of like a mountain, dirt road, big potholes. Anyways, I was in the refugee camp. We're driving down, and you hear something hit the truck, like some little rocks. And I could see some kids, you know, as I look back over there. And I mean, they're older. They're, you know, teenagers. And I see them over there, and Rob's just like, whatever, he's driving. And James Nika's in the car with us. And as we're going, James says, stop. And Rob's like, James, don't worry. No, stop. He says, Rob, this is my culture. I know what to do here. Okay. James gets out of the car. And, you know, the kids are running through the bush. And he yells at them. And they just stop. And he says, get over here. They come over. He says, lay down on the ground. What are you doing? He's saying, it's in another language. I don't know what he's saying. But all I just see is the kids start laying on the ground. He walks over a tree, gets a switch, and, you know, not hard, but he just starts whipping the kids on their, like, the back of their calves, and he's rebuking them, and then he ships them on their way. I'm like, whoa, dude, that was a cultural experience. I'm thinking, what if their dad came over here? There'd be a fight. No, there wouldn't. That's how they are. They take responsibility for their tribe. They take those kids, they realize, are the next chiefs and leaders amongst their people. And therefore, they want to make sure those kids are shaped and they're respectful and they're honorable. And if there's a child rebelling, they're going to deal with it. Now, James, you know, at that time, he didn't have any kids of his own. And those kids listened to him, and it was an amazing thing to me. You know, and that is a culture that really just speaks to me. Because, you see, they take concern for the next generation. And I want to challenge us today to be concerned about the next generation. I'm not saying get a switch. You know, when you see kids in the planter bed, they see some guy out there. Rick Bulak will come over and deal with you. Really, that there's saying, hey, those kids seem like they're doing things they probably, their parents wouldn't want them doing. I'm an adult. Say something. Not meanly. Say, hey, you know what? Your mom and dad, they want you right now. They're calling for you. Go find them. Love them. Get in their life. Care about them. We find out kids are really easy to talk to, really easy to connect with. Jesus says, "And for such is the kingdom of heaven, for such is the kingdom of God." Listen, those kids need to be evangelized. You know, kids, they're, you know, every single child is born a sinner. And it's our job to bring them into the kingdom, to bring them into a place of being a saint. You know, I'm so thankful, and I want to just say it publicly today. I'm so thankful for the guys and the gals in our church that have taken concern for my kids and have loved them and been an awesome, awesome example to them. And I pray that doesn't stop. I pray that continues. And I pray we only deepen in our convictions. But I pray our eyes might be open today. And you know what? Our children's ministry, it is weak and it does suffer for lack of laborers. There's a handful of people that just give their life for the kids. And I watch it. And there's a cycle always through our children's ministry. And they get burnt out. And they just can't do it anymore because they do everything. And I just want to exhort us this morning to take some concern there and to challenge you to say, hey, you know what? I'll do that. 6 months, you know? 6 months of my life to invest. Because that's what it's about. And can I say, and I know most of the men are at the men's retreat, but there's some men here today. Can I say, you know how important it is, men, that you're involved in kids' lives? It seems like all the moms serve in children's ministry. Amazing. They're all moms at home and they're all moms at church. Let's give the moms a break. You know what really impacts kids is that male figure. It's usually not around in children's ministry. We have a few, and they've been a tremendous blessing through the years with our kids. Jesus was a man that loved kids. He didn't look at them as a problem, as a burden, as a nuisance. He looked at them as a blessing, as an opportunity to enter the kingdom. He looked at them as future disciples and leaders. And you just have to step back and wonder, what is the next generation going to be? What is in 15 years this church going to look like? What is the 20-year-olds, you know, the college and career, what kind of people are going to be in there that are right now sitting in our Sunday school classes? What are they going to look like? Man, you know, we have an opportunity to keep them pure, you know, keep them from the world. God has blessed our church. You know, God saved a lot of young kids in our church and birthed a church out of a revival. And you know, one of the greatest privileges that I feel like I have from God is to give my kids a Christian upbringing. And I feel like our church has a privilege to do that because there's so many of you young parents that you're not starting unequally yoked and you're starting unsaved and then you got saved and there's all these issues and those are there. But those of you, you're both husband and wife, born again, love God, you're beginning to have children. You have such an opportunity to just pour Christ into them. Think about what you would have loved to have had. Or maybe some of you did have. Do you know what the next generation would be like? To take that responsibility, to take that challenge, and to do that which Jesus did. You know, I love here what happens there in verse 13. It says, and they brought their children to him. You know, the people, the parents, brought the kids to Jesus. Parents, can I just speak to you for a minute? Bring your kids to Jesus. Bring them to Jesus at every opportunity you have. Because know this, he wants you to. He says, bring them to me. He says it right there. Verse 14, let the little children come to me. Don't forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. Bring them to me. Jesus says, bring me your kids. Bring me your rebellious kids. Bring me your humble kids. Bring me your prideful kids. Bring me your smart kids. Bring me your struggling kids. Bring your kids to me. Bring them to them in prayer. Bring the kids to them through the Word. Just bring Jesus to them. When I'm dealing with a rebellious issue of one of my kids, we'll sit down and we will have a good talk. And I always will bring Jesus right in the middle of it. Jesus right here. You know, just yesterday I was talking to my son who I could tell was lying. And I said, do you know, son, that Jesus sees everything Daddy does? You know, I'm not just rebuking him. I'm trying to connect. I'm trying to get in his little heart. You know, Daddy does some things sometimes that is bad and wrong and it's sin. And you know Jesus sees it. And you know when I try to hide it from Jesus, it's kind of doesn't work because He's God. He sees everything. And do you know that Jesus saw what happened out on the front lawn today with your brother? Now, do you want to tell me what happened? And then I throw this in. Because if you don't, Jesus is going to. Jesus talks to Daddy. And I just connect. And we just immediately, we brought it from, I'm in trouble, I'm going to lie, I'm going to harden my heart, to, oh, there's a God in heaven. And He sees me. I'm a sinner. So is my daddy. My daddy's telling me about his God. Jesus, it changes everything. Changes everything. Bring him to Jesus. Jesus loves him. You know, that little song, Jesus loves the little children of the world. We sing it all the time. It's the only song I really know. So, but we know this. Bring your kids into your world. Hopefully your world's a world of Jesus. And allow Christ to be magnified in your heart, in your life, in your family, in your kids, in your church. Let's take responsibility for our church. Let's be the church. Let God be magnified. Those of you that have a calling, a special unique calling to work with kids, and there are some of you that do, and you do it so incredibly, thank you. Don't quit. I know you get tired. I know you get tired. Don't give up. Don't quit. God is with you. You don't see fruit right away. It's not like my kids walk away going, oh, Jesus is here. I'll never lie again. We do it the next day. Same thing. Same talk. Same problem. Same guilty eyes that they're lying to me. And you just faithfully, consistently shepherd and raise and rear those kids. And ultimately, they're going to come into their own relationship with Jesus Christ. And they're going to know what that looks like. It doesn't look like some carnal thing. They know what it looks like. And that's why, church, how important it is for us to walk in such a manner. Jesus says here, verse 15, assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. Whoever doesn't receive, he says, assuredly I say to you, listen up now, open your ears. Now he's going to use this as an opportunity to teach. I cannot tell you how many times the Lord has used my kids as an opportunity to teach me about me. Like when little Nathaniel says, no, Dad, I don't care that you're sick. I want to do something. I don't care about you. The Lord says, that's how you are with me all the time. I say, Trent, this is my will. This is what I want. No, I don't care. I'm doing this. And just how God uses kids to show us who we are. So Jesus does that here. And he says this. He says, whoever. So now it's not to kids. It's whoever does not receive. So it's an issue of receiving the kingdom of God as, like, a little child will by no means enter it. So now he's talking about the entry to heaven, to salvation, the kingdom of God. And how is it that a little child receives? You know, in this story, what do we have? We have kids that are being brought to Jesus that have nothing to offer Jesus. We've got kids that in their society and culture mean zero, mean absolutely nothing. They're worth nothing. They're brought to Jesus totally empty. They don't even know why they're there. And they're brought there and Jesus lays his hands on them and blesses them. And that's how the kids receive the kingdom. Church, what is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, I believe, to come empty, to come like a kid. Like a kid, he doesn't have any clout, any power, any position. He just comes and it's just need. And again, it's little children, it's babies, they're needy. A little baby, if without mom and dad, the baby doesn't live. Come to God like that. Come to God and say, if you don't help me, I have got nothing. Broken, empty. There's nothing here, Lord. I need you. I need you. That's how we ought to receive the kingdom of heaven. Not coming in like, you know, I'm an adult and I've got everything to you and I'm gifted and I got that. No, you come just with nothing and you receive the kingdom. You come broken. You come humble. Because it's only the empty hands that God can fill. It's only the empty heart that God can fill. It's not me coming with all my stuff. You got nothing. You're just a child. You're an infant. You're a baby. And we come to Jesus and He says, whoever wants to receive the kingdom, whoever wants to enter into heaven, you just come to me like a child. Now that's easy. You come to me with honesty. You come to me with humility. You come to me with nothing. And you just come to me. I'm your God. I'm your Father. I love you. And I'll save you. And so Jesus uses that opportunity to teach His disciples. And can I say it again? When you work with kids, you're going to learn a lot about the Lord and a lot about you. Because they're going to teach you. And Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is going to remind you and say, that's you. That's you right there. That's you and me right there. That little talk you just had with your son, yeah, that's how I'm always with my son named Trent. And you do worse than that. So why don't you have some mercy now? And maybe you should go repent yourself. And then I do. And we have a good time, me and the Lord. And He took them up into His arms. I love that. Jesus touched them. Embraced them. He got with them. And He put His hands on them. And He blessed them. He blessed them. Boy, I love just to put my hands on a kid and just bless them. How do you bless them? Well, it doesn't say necessarily prayed for them. Other places it does say that. Certainly that's a way to bless kids. But listen, just encourage kids. Just encourage them. I mean, just touch them. Just put your hand on them. You know, the little guys that are, you know, on the soccer teams that I coach. I just put my hands on their heads. You know, they're right there. I just grab them by the face. I look at right in their eye and just say, awesome. Awesome. Give me a high five right now. Right here. Bring it on. Oh, come on. You can do better than that. Give me a harder. Just in their life. You did a great job. Got this little guy on my team. Can't play soccer for the life of him. And his name happens to be Trent. And, you know, so he really feels like, yeah, Coach Trent. I'm Trent. And so... I love the kid. He's got such a tender heart. He's just not athletic. It's just not his thing. I'm always just telling him. I look him right in the eye and go, okay, this is what I want you to do. I want you to cover this place. That ball comes here. I want you to charge it with everything you got and just kick it out. Just kick it out of here. I got you, coach. Okay. And he's, you know, it's coming. And he's just standing there kind of like this. I'm like, use your feet to kick it. And he kicks it. And he falls down. And the ball goes by him. And... You know, and I'm a competitive guy. I'll be real honest with you. Well, I want to win. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, I got to just suck it up and just, you know, awesome. That was such hard work. You tried your hardest. Good job. You know what it does to him? You just see him. He's just like, hey, I'm... One of the boys on the team told him the other day, said, you know, you are the worst soccer player on this team. And the little boy was just devastated. And I noticed next week he didn't come practice. He missed a game. You know what he needs? He just needs encouragement. You know what discouragement does? And they get plenty of it. Just destroys them. Just breaks them down. Just a little encouragement. Doesn't take long. Doesn't take much. You're an uncle. You're an aunt. You're a friend of someone that's got kids. But just take that moment. Just take that moment. Just tell them. Just find something good. Just encourage them. Just lift them up. Give them some fire for life. Give them some reason to live. Just pour into them. Church, it is a joy to love kids. It brings such great joy. Such just release and just love. Just enjoy the kids in your life. Enjoy the kids around you. Enjoy the kids in our body. Just pour into them. Love them. Just let God be glorified. There is a sense of satisfaction when you've loved someone's kids, when you've cared for someone, when you've seen a kid smile. And you know, Jesus, He enjoyed it. He just enjoyed it. He just embraced them, hugged them, just blessed them. Bless someone. Because you know what? What we learn of kids, we know of true of ourselves. We need to do the same things to ourselves, to each other, to the adults. Courage and love. Let God be magnified and glorified.